Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It is late afternoon in Israel, and in the fighting day may be coming to a close very shortly. This is Jeffrey Swartz. I am a professor of law at Cooley Law School's Tampa Bay campus. I'm here with my compatriot and colleague, Brendan Beery, who is also a professor of law at Cooley Law School's Tampa Bay campus, and with our friend and patron and all-around good guy, Ezzy Harris. And to both of you, I say a pleasant morning.
Good morning.
It's hard to be funny today. It is difficult. Brendan and I talked about this earlier. I talked about it with Hezzy for a little bit before the show started. I am deeply moved and saddened and concerned about certain events, and we're going to get to them very shortly, and I think you know where we're going. I will not ignore what we do normally each week. I don't think I have to explain why I feel this way, but the loser of the week is Kevin McCarthy. But the loser of the week is the United States of America. It's not because McCarthy was anything special. In fact, he was special in the wrong way. But his downfall and the way that the House of Representatives has and continues, at least Republicans, has and continues to comport itself, makes the people of the United States of America the real loser. We are a loser because a minority of people have taken control of our government to the extent the minority that made Republicans the majority, and the minority of even those people, have subjugated our government to chaos. And when government is in chaos, the people that it governs are the losers. So McCarthy is a loser, but the loser of the week are the people of the United States of America. And I tie that directly to the moron of the week, who really isn't a moron in the context of stupidity, but he's a moron in the things that he does, is Matt Gaetz, who sows chaos just for his own importance. And the interesting thing in the state of Florida will be in 2026, Gaetz versus DeSantis for governor of the state of Florida. Because Gaetz is going to have a problem, and that is that he underestimates Governor DeSantis, as someone called him the other day. I hadn't heard that one before. Is going to do what he can to make himself eligible for a third term as governor in this state. I am in Florida. Mm-hmm. So Gaetz is the moron only because he does moronic things, and his actions are detrimental to us all. And the fact that we even allow him to do these things, tie him directly to McCarthy. So the two of them together have done more damage to this country than I think people really imagine. And I'm just going to leave it at that. If you want to comment on that, you're more than welcome to do so, Brendan.
I don't know. It's just, it sounds like a broken record. The cast of characters the Republican Party has unleashed on our body politic is, you just can't. You know, Matt Gaetz, add him to the list. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump, Lauren Boebert, Louie Gohmert, I mean, it's just...
Paul Gosar.
Yeah, Paul Gosar, you know. Might as well add RFK Jr., you know. He's of a piece with that crowd. I just don't know because, you know, it's like watching a sitcom. And when you watch a sitcom on TV, you know that there are characters who are not meant to be taken seriously. So you don't take them seriously. You know, George Costanza and Kramer, they're ridiculous characters. And, you know, so you don't put those people in Congress if you want to be a serious citizen. But Republicans do. You know, they take the most outrageous, ridiculous caricatures. And instead of seeing them for the carnival barkers that they are, the circus act that they are, they put them in the United States Congress. And so this is what we get. I will never understand it. As you both know, I've been saying every week now for as long as we've been doing this, we need to start getting some psychologists on here to explain this to me. Because I don't get it. We're living in, you know, Nicole Wallace says Earth 1 and Earth 2. And she's on to something there. We're living on completely different planets. So, but Matt, when you talk about Matt Gaetz, you know, there you go again. He even looks like a villain from some cartoon.
Are you talking about his haircut? Are you commenting on his haircut?
No, his entire look, right? You know, and I mean, you know, how you present yourself to the world, you know, it has some significance. It's you know, when you talk about loser of the week and moron of the week, there are so many, you know, so many ridiculous people to choose from every week. it's hard to do, but I agree with your choices this week. So that's all I'll add.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. You're quite welcome.
I think that the elephant in the room is the elephant in the room, and I think that, you know, as much as there is other things to talk about, I don't want to go through a whole list of things and leave us without enough time to talk about this. So we're going to talk about what's going on in the Middle East. And it's important because it does affect the United States. But it's important because I'm Jewish. And I have in the past been critical of the government of the state of Israel in their failure to reach some sort of political resolution to what remains the centuries, if not millennium, of dispute over the ownership of the land we call Palestine. And it hasn't always been in what used to be called Palestine, which is now Israel. And it goes back 5,000 years. And it goes back to the time of the Exodus. And it goes back between so many different civilizations, many of which have disappeared over time. And the fact that it's not just Arabs and Israelis. It was the Romans. It was the British. It has been numerous people who have claimed ownership over that land and dominion over that land. That it's not a question of historical right. Because historical right is not going to solve the problem. And I've never believed that it would. And every time a resolution comes along, both sides right now to what the where the dispute stands. Find a way to blow that resolution up because it does not fulfill their personal or group needs. So I've always had a problem. I have had that dichotomy in my mind. But today that dichotomy is resolved. It is not that killing is not going on since Israel was founded in 1949, the year of my birth. I think it was 49, wasn't it, Izzy? Might have been 48. And so Israel's as old as I am. And I think a lot of people, because they don't teach history, don't understand from whence this dispute came. And it came from the historical, brought to us the way it stands today by the British, by the United Nations, by all of the surrounding Arab countries, by the Palestinian people themselves, the failure and inability to compromise and to create the two-state solution that the UN created back in the 40s when the partitioning was passed by them and the creation of Israel took place. As the British marched out, knowing what was going to happen. Most people don't know that there was a partitioning. Most people today don't know that there was a two-state solution. But that two-state solution, which Israel was ready to accept, the Arab countries that surrounded Israel, whether it was Lebanon or Jordan or Saudi Arabia or Syria, or Iraq, or Iran as it was constituted back then, decided to tell the Palestinian people, you must fight. We will fight with you. We must destroy Israel. We must drive the Jews into the Mediterranean Sea. And not really understanding the resolve of the Jewish people to have Israel. All of those countries against Israel, it was like 20 people to one, maybe more. Israel survived. And not only survived, but drove out the Palestinian people who were making war against them and established all of what was Palestine as being Israel. Did the Arab countries come to the aid of the Palestinian people? No. They put them in refugee camps. They let them proliferate. They let them and their anger fester. They fed into that. They kept them poor. They kept them suffering. And allowed all of that to continue and fought war after war. And never really extended or it restricted the growth of Israel. At one point, Israel owned the Sinai. Egypt was against them. They wiped out Egypt in the Yom Kippur War 50 years ago right now. And what happened was eventually the Palestinian people ended up with the West Bank. Not being satisfied, West Bank, that wasn't enough. They went up into Lebanon, overthrew their government, and created really what is a Palestinian state. And created eventually Gaza. I think, I'm trying to remember which prime minister allowed for the creation of the Gaza Strip as a separate Palestinian entity. I'm not blaming it all on Israel. Did engage in some rather restrictive laws, not allowing Palestinians to come to Israel and be citizens. Those that remained could be citizens. But now we are faced with a different situation. Despite all the incursions and all the attempts to disarm Hamas and all the attempts to deal with the Palestinian Authority, Israel has been wholly and completely unsuccessful at coming and establishing peace, despite, I think, at times some really serious efforts. Palestinians hold with the idea that the land is theirs and the Jews have to go. That is their uniting force. And the skirmishes take place and the terrorism takes place, but very rarely has brought it to serious military action. A few times it has. This time is different. It is very different. This was a highly coordinated attack that resulted in thousands of deaths. But their thousands, in comparison and percentage of population, amounts to at least our 9/11 being 30,000 dead. I want you to think about that. 15 times the number of deaths in a percentage basis. And we're not talking about attacking an office building. We're talking about hundreds and thousands of deaths. When it's all said and done, including babies, invasions into settlements, into villages, actually kibbutzes, taking children out of the arms of their parents and shooting them in front of their parents. Babies, you lose me on any kind of moral higher ground when you shoot babies. When you line people up and you kill them. When you grab women and you rape them, and then you kidnap them, or you kill them. When you find people hiding in a concrete bomb shelter and just mow them down. Nazis did things like that. You lose any moral, higher moral ground to me. I mean, you're not even a hill, let alone a higher ground. You lose my sympathy. And as illiberal as this sounds, I wouldn't waste one more bomb on these people. I would take my soldiers, I would surround them, shut off everything, which is what they're doing. No one gets out. No one gets out. You turn off their water, you turn off their food, you turn off their electricity, you interfere with their communications by basically shutting down their cell towers, and you leave them to wither away. If you want to end it, then the people of Gaza are going to have to rise up, you sheep that live there. And you are sheep. You have been penned up not because the Israelis wanted it that way, because other Arab countries who have now abandoned you wanted it that way 80 years ago, 75 years ago. Rise up, not against the Israelis, because that's hopeless. Rise up against the people who subjugate you, Hamas, who keep you in poverty, keep you at war, who keep your people dying and Israelis dying, and rise up against them and destroy them yourself. Then you can talk to me about higher ground. Then you can talk to me about peace. Someone very close to me said, all of them should die. I don't wish that on any group of people. I don't believe in genocide. And this is hardly a genocide. But nothing gets in, nothing goes out. Not one more Jew should die because they don't know the difference between the fighters and the civilians. If you support people who kill babies purposely, not as just collateral damage, purposely take children and shoot them in front of their parents, and then kidnap the parents and leave the children there dead on the ground, you have no soul to save. None. And those that are soulless don't deserve any sympathy, and they don't deserve any quarter. I am that angry today and have been all weekend. So there's the history, why we are where we are, and the only result that can happen. I'm sorry for the 100, 200 hostages there are. It is unfortunate. They are going to be, and I think the calculation has already been made, they are collateral damage. There is nothing that can be done to save them. Nothing. And it is a horrible way for them to live and eventually die. But I'm sorry. Thousands of Jewish soldiers and Israeli soldiers dying to save a few makes no sense. Not if you want to win. Then I want them to win. And that's my rant and my anger. Go ahead, chime in.
Well, not much to add. It's another reminder of how precarious normal life, normal order, reasonably peaceful existence, how precarious that is. We've been reminded now several times in my lifetime of that. You know, you mentioned 9/11, which changed everything in this country. We've been through a pandemic, which also changed everything in this country. And now, you know, this, when this happens in Israel, you're talking about a vibrant society, modern society. I heard read a reporter who is an American but has Israeli roots and is in Israel right now talking about how when you land in Tel Aviv, people are shoving food down your throat and people are dancing and laughing. And the next thing you know, all of that is gone. And why? It's really frightening for those of us. I don't know. Maybe this sounds obnoxious, you know, self-promoting, but as somebody who, you know, I literally will not harm an insect if I can avoid it. Now cockroaches, I exempt from that, but The violence that humans are capable of is literally, and I'm trying to be very literal about this, literally incomprehensible. The evil that it would take, the lack of empathy, completely unable to associate yourself with the feelings and the experiences of other humans, right? That's the kind of person you would have to be to undertake this kind of violence. It's insane. But it is visited upon us on a regular basis throughout our history. And here it is again. And again, it's kind of terrifying just to think, you know, I'm going about my business, you know, as we do here in this country, and think, think that nothing can disrupt it. Now, of course, Israelis have had a very different experience. They know how quickly it can all be disrupted. But nonetheless, again, to live in a modern country among joyful people, going about their business and their lives, and to have that all ripped away like this, it is jarring. As far as anything that I can add to the conversation, and I can't add much, my concerns, and I already talked to Jeff about this earlier this morning, number one would be that Netanyahu, I don't know the composition of his character. I don't know what he will do. My question to Jeff was, is he going to try to capitalize on this politically? In a time of crisis like this, that's the time when authoritarian impulses can take hold, and it seemed like they were already taking hold with Netanyahu. So I have that concern. I have the concern about how this happened. I know, so does everybody. An attack of this scale, this well coordinated, this well armed, how it escaped the notice of Israeli and Western intelligence is remarkable to me. And my final concern is here in the United States. This is absolutely an international crisis of epic proportions, and there was a time when both parties agreed that times like this are not a time for, there'd be plenty of time for finger pointing later. But what we need to do right now is come together, find a solution to the extent that that is humanly possible, and face the crisis as with a united front. I avoid false equivalence at all costs, and I'm going to do it again. This is not a two-party problem. This is a Republican problem right now. If the shoe was on the other foot, if a Republican was in the Oval Office right now when this attack had happened, the only thing I can imagine Democrats, with maybe one or two outliers, but the only thing I can imagine mainstream Democrats saying is, okay, we're going to get behind our president. We are going to speak with one voice, and we are going to show strength and resolve, and we are going to confront this head on. If you're hearing that from Republicans, you must be listening to different outlets than I am, because the only thing I hear from Republicans is this is Joe Biden's fault. He caused it. He gave Iran the means with which to finance it. He's weak. And he's indecisive, and I mean, this is the stuff in this country that would have been unimaginable in the world before, Trumpism, which predated Trump himself, by the way. So those are my thoughts and concerns as we face this. I agree with you that it was important that we talk about it. Because that's obviously the most important thing going on in the world right now. Those are my thoughts.
I think what's troubling to me is the outpouring from some areas of criticism of Israel and grave concern for the people of Gaza. I understand everybody has a political take here. And when you start as the spokesman for the United Nations Commission for Human Rights, and her name is Ravina Shamdasani, held a press conference this morning and said that international humanitarian law prohibits the siege of Gaza. You can't do that. It's like defending the people who support the people who have committed some of the most heinous atrocities that we've ever seen in the space of a four-hour period of time. I get lost. You stand up there and you say, you can't do that to all those people. You are depriving them of essential goods. It's prohibited under international humanitarian law. Okay. Is taking a hand grenade and throwing it into a concrete bunker, multiple hand grenades, and killing all the people inside, I guess that's not a violation of humanitarian law. Making war on civilians is not a violation of humanitarian law. Displacement of people who are getting out. Palestinians who live in Israel are displacing themselves because they're the enemy, and people will see them as such, even though they might not be. You're not supposed to bomb because there are civilian casualties. You are not supposed to, there cannot be any damage to them, to as collateral damage to medical facilities. You can't deprive them of the means of having the strength to continue a war. I'm not telling you that you should purposely bomb a hospital. But taking down cell phone towers, cutting off water supply and electrical that Israel supplies to Gaza free of charge. Well, we're sorry, we're not going to supply these things to you for free anymore. Why would we? I'm sorry, I would rather see a siege that makes the people inside rise up against the people who are truly enslaving them, truly keeping them poor. Then I would see any more Israelis die trying to be the good guys. So I don't want to hear this from people who have their own agenda within the United Nations. And clearly this particular person has her own agenda. But it's okay to commit acts of terrorism on an ongoing basis against the civilian population. I do not hear that being derided in any way, shape, or form. I know how illiberal this sounds, but it's the way I feel. Come to me for sympathy when you're ready for peace. Do not come to me for sympathy when you're still making war and still lobbing rockets on civilian areas and still have your terrorists inside that country to commit more havoc and kill more civilians, and where you're holding hostages as a trade You want thousands of your own for 150 hostages. That is ultimately what they will ask for. Hundreds of rockets a day falling in civilian areas indiscriminately. You're as bad as the Russians are. Actually, the Russians are a little bit worse. They purposely target things. I don't want to hear it anymore. I literally don't want to hear it. Go to the other Arab countries who stuck you in there and say, give us a place to live. They won't even give the Palestinians a place to live. They are the lowest of the low as far as Arabs are concerned. They're the lowest of the low. To many of those other Arab countries, Palestinians are vermin. To them, all they do is suck up what we give you and make more babies. That's all you do. That's their attitude towards them. Heal thyself before you ask someone to heal you. Had enough. Do we want to move on?
Yeah, I guess we probably should.
But I can't tell you how I really feel.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Got a lot of things going on. We can go back to the House of Representatives for a few minutes.
Yeah.
We are in a constitutional crisis. We have a House of Representatives that's incapable of acting. They're incapable of accomplishing anything. Not that they were accomplishing anything before. We have two candidates who are self-flawed for the Speaker of the House, self-flawed.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy with Scalise. He's a racist. He's always been a racist. He ran as a racist when he first ran for Congress. He is, for lack of a better way to put it, probably as neo-Nazi as they come. And everybody feels bad because he got shot by somebody during a baseball game. Yeah, that's a bad thing. And they feel bad for him because he's got bone cancer now. Yeah, that's a bad thing. I don't wish either of those things on anybody. Well, that's not true. There's a few people I wish that on. But, really bad people. You know, like Putin, things like that. Okay, there are some people. When people say I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, that's a load of crap. Okay. I never believe anybody when they say that. Okay, that's just crap. Okay, that's not true. That's why I don't say that. I just refuse.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the other guy that's running. Sleeveless man himself, Jim Jordan, who I still believe is as responsible for Matt Gaetz and his insurrection caucus as any singular person. He is like, what do they call him, the mole? Inside what was supposed to be the leadership. He has brought this all about for one reason and one reason only, because he wanted to be the Speaker of the House. He knew he didn't have the power over McCarthy. He had to work to get rid of McCarthy, and he did. And reasonable Republicans have been speaking out and saying, this guy is dangerous. He wants to blow everything up. He is a bomb thrower. He's always been a bomb thrower. He likes to watch. asked the wrestlers at Ohio State, complained, and said, he knows what the guy was doing to us. He's admitted that he knows, but when asked by the authorities at Ohio State, he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I never saw anything like that. He is the Joe Paterno of Ohio State. And you can look that up. Not allowed on the campus. Ohio State has disavowed him. And he's just a bully. And that wants to be the Speaker of the House. Republicans can't do any better than these two. There's not one reasonable person you all can believe can agree on. Really? Tom Cole's a conservative. He's a very conservative guy. But he believes in the institution. He's the guy you really need. If you got to pick somebody out of there, pick Tom Cole from Pennsylvania. The far right will never accept him. Change the rules so it takes 25 of them to vacate the chair, to bring it up. Take the power away from Matt Gaetz. Take the power away from Gosar and Gohmert and the others. This is horrible. And just to show you how bad it is, when asked whether he would serve again if the House wanted him, McCarthy says, well, I'll leave, you know, if the House wants me, they know where to find me. In other words, I'm out here waiting for you guys. Here I am, your favorite suck-up. You know that's who you want. You'll last a day when Matt Gaetz moves to vacate the chair. I was going to say last week, but I never had the chance to. But McCarthy had the opportunity to be a statesman. He had the opportunity to have people write history about what a wonderful speaker he was when he came along and created a coalition government. Just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
He just couldn't do it. The House is in shambles. We need FEMA to come in and rebuild it. But this is a disaster of our own making. Tolerance on one side and lack of tolerance on the other side. It's our own Palestinian-Israeli dispute. It got so bad that Donald Trump said, well, if they want me, I'll serve temporarily as the Speaker of the House and claim government immunity from prosecution while I am. That's what we need. I don't know what we do. But based upon that statement from McCarthy, nobody's got a majority. And there will be no consensus tonight after the meeting that takes place. And then supposedly they're going to have a candidates forum on Tuesday. Well, that's tonight. I'm sorry. Tonight's the candidates forum. And then tomorrow they're supposed to vote on who the consensus candidate's going to be. Ha. Okay, what are the odds that they're going to come up with a consensus candidate? I think the odds are about the same as, I don't know, the University of Toledo football team winning the national championship. What do you think those odds are, Brendan?
I don't know. I'll have to study up on Toledo football.
Mid-American Conference. That's where Nick Saban first was a head coach. That was his first head coaching job in college.
Okay.
We found out what.
Well, maybe if he'd stuck around, yeah.
Yeah, no. That's why he left and went to Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left and he went to Louisiana State.
Yeah.
And then he went to the Dolphins. Now he's in Alabama. Now he's going to retire. because his team, he got decimated by the portal. But that's football. We're not going to talk football.
Yeah.
So your thoughts?
No, I'm tired of saying it. It all comes back to, I don't understand how we got here. I don't understand how a major political party got here. It's all grievance. It's all racism all the time. And that's just, you just can't function if that's your entire platform, and your entire, motivating, force is just, the othering of fellow Americans and your vitriol and your animus, you know, that's the driving force. And we see this is the result of it. You know, you talk about minority rule. Yeah, I mean, the Matt Gaetzes of the world, you know, a majority of Americans look at this clown car that is the Republican cast of characters. And the majority of Americans, you know, we're still trying to pick our jaws up off the floor. Spectacle. But because of gerrymandering, because of the Electoral College, because of the composition of the U.S. Senate, which drastically overrepresents rural white areas, you know, these forces have conspired to create this, where these people are in control. It's amazing to have to say that. And I talk every week about polls. You know, showing again, it's incomprehensible that you would have polls that show that in a matchup between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, you know, things are even or Trump is in the lead. I understand that it's early and that those polls are probably wrong, but it shouldn't be possible to begin with. It should not be possible among a rational population for Donald Trump to be within 30 points. Of Joe Biden by any objective standard. But here we are. So, you know, I think it's important for people to find hobbies, to find joy in a cup of coffee or a nice dinner and a glass of wine, you know, because you're not going to find it by turning on the television.
No, you're not.
And watching what's going on around the world or here. So
yeah, I cannot for the life of me understand how we've allowed and as you put it, the minority is truly the House of Representatives does not represent the American people, as the Republicans try to say. The American people put us here. The American people did not put you there. Gerrymandering and voting restrictions and other things have conspired to put you in the majority by 5 seats. But you do not represent the majority of Americans. Don't ever think you do. And the things you do are not meant for the majority of Americans. They're meant for you to subjugate others and to somehow continue your minority rule. And to me, minority rule is another way of saying white privilege. That's all. And anybody who believes that, you know, McCarthy, the people of the United States put us here to do certain things. No, they did not. The people of the United States, Joe Biden, where he is, to do the things that he's doing for them. Not you there to stop him. Your gerrymandered districts that allow a minority of the population, a true minority, even less of a minority than Donald Trump's loss, the number of votes he got, in control of the House of Representatives, is created by you over many years. So I don't want to hear that from them. There is a few other things that we did say we wanted to talk about, some of the other things that's going on. We never had a chance to talk about Defendant Hall's flip in the Atlanta case, which I believe is just the first of many dominoes to fall. He can hand Sidney Powell up and will be, because he was with her when they went down there and started playing around with the machines down in Coffee County, Georgia. Sidney Powell had better start looking for a plea that might keep her out of a long jail sentence, prison sentence. She cannot afford the lawyer that she has. She's out of money. And Donald is not helping anybody. He needs all that money to pay off the state of New York. So he isn't helping anybody. So time to really start watching what's going to happen towards the end of this month with the two lawyers who are scheduled, Cheeseborough and Powell.
Mm-hmm.
If Powell falls, Cheeseborough will too, and that'll be the end of that trial. And I don't see how Sidney Powell can stand up and allow herself to be just basically denied the ability to testify when Mr. Hall gets done testifying. I also think that Jenna Ellis will fall very shortly. I have read everything she has said. I have listened to what she has said on Christian radio. I have read her Facebook page, and I have read her GoFundMe page. They've raised about $200,000. That has already dissipated. That money is already spent. There is no money, and she complains constantly that Donald Trump is a terrible, awful person, and he's a narcissist, and blah, 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 because he won't give me money to defend myself after everything I did for him. Well, let's hear what you did for him, starting with a, you know, falsifying an affidavit and everything else you did. Let's hear it all. Do yourself a favor. So it's just starting. The fall has begun.
Yeah.
We have two less party candidates who are now running as independents for president of the United States. First one is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And as his sister Carrie says, do not confuse my brother Bobby with my father. He has my father's name. He does not have my father's soul. He's crazy. And we are ashamed of him. Do not think, those of you who long for the days of my father, that he is my father. He is not. And he is not representative of what the Kennedy family believes in. Now, she is the youngest of his siblings. Her mother was pregnant with her when her father died. But she appears to be the new matriarch. She speaks for everyone. She is a celebrity in her own right. She makes documentary films. He's decided to run as an independent. If he's lucky, he'll get on one or two obscure state, you know, presidential ballots. And now Donald realizes he is more of a threat to him than to Democrats, because he is a conspiracy theorist and an anti-vaxxer. And those people who are looking for a place to go that is not Donald Trump, this is the guy they're going to go to. Democrats are already disenamored with him. The other person is Cornel West. He is not a democratic socialist. He's an avowed communist. He thinks the United States is awful and terrible and imperialistic and all the things that go with it. And he was going to run on the Green Party ticket, but the Green Party has decided they're not going to put a candidate up this time. They do not want to be a spoiler like they were in 2000 and 2016. So he has no Green Party to be the candidate for, to get on the ballot. So he's going to run as an independent. He will get on nobody's presidential ballot. You won't be able to vote for him. But he'll be out there. And no labels. Marilyn will disagree with me till the day it happens. No labels is a nothing burger. There will not be a no labels candidate. They've always said they don't want to be a spoiler. Then stay out of it. And I think they will. What do you think about all that?
No, God. Yeah, that's about, you know, RFK. You know, I don't say this in a way that's pejorative at all, but the man obviously is suffering from mental illness, acute.
His family thinks
mental
so.
Illness. Yeah. It's hard to watch, you know, somebody who comes from that family, you know, devolve into such a state. You know, the choice is going to come down to, in all likelihood, you know, whether people like it or not, the choice is going to come down to either Joe Biden or Donald Trump. And the more other people get into the mix, you know, the more uncertain all that becomes. But I do agree, RFK Jr., people started talking about this a few weeks ago. You know, the common wisdom that, you know, RFK Jr. poses a threat to Joe Biden because he has the Kennedy name, you know, that assumes that people will not learn anything between now and the election because the guy is a right-wing nutcase. So I agree with you. I think that's much more of a threat to Donald Trump than it is to Joe Biden. You know, the people who are attracted to the kinds of stuff that RFK Jr. is trying to sell, they weren't going to – those people are going to come from the right. I agree. And I see more and more voices. The last one I heard was, you know, Bill Maher talking about how Joe Biden is now the only Democrat who could lose to Donald Trump. David Ignatius wrote an op-ed piece asking Joe Biden to step aside. One of the things that I'm not hearing from everybody who's asking Joe Biden to step aside is who exactly is supposed to stand in his place. If you're going to ask him to go, you have to identify, where is the viable candidate? I'm not saying that there isn't one, but if you want Joe Biden to step down, it's incumbent on you to identify one. Who is it going to be? Do you have any ideas? Who Gavin Newsom? Would it be Governor Whitmer? Would it be Kamala Harris? I mean, who would it be? I don't know.
They have no idea. They have no idea, and I make this point. If now Joe Biden says I'm not running, the Democratic Party would splinter and lose its cohesiveness as our own clown car.
Mm-hmm.
Of 8 to 10 people all declare for the presidency. Whether it's Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Tim Kaine, you know, from all aspects, Bernie, others scream, it's your turn, Hillary. And that would hand the election to someone like a Donald Trump. It's too late for that. Way too late. I just don't see any possibility. By the way, you talk about someone from that family when you talk about RFK Jr.,
mm-hmm.
I just get appalled every time I hear him referred to as RFK.
Mm-hmm.
My RFK, who died in 1968, was the best that family ever produced. I can't imagine what a phenomenal president he would have been. And his death changed American history, not for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a shame that this guy carries his name. He's a Shonda. And it's horrible that he carries that name. And maybe he is the way he is because he's trying to live up to the name and be something special himself. I mean, he's got conspiracy theories about the way his uncle died. They got conspiracy theories about the way his cousin died. Okay, you know, I'm an anti-vaxxer. Okay, and you know, he's a QAnon guy, and QAnon people are going to follow him. I love it. I love that he's there to absorb those people, but I just wish he had a different name.
Yeah.
Can we call him something else? If anybody ever says calls him Bobby Kennedy, I may want to take out a pistol and shoot those people and put them out of their misery. He's not Bobby Kennedy. No one will ever be Bobby Kennedy. End of story. Yes, I'm a boomer. Okay? There will never be another Bobby Kennedy. End of story. It is after 11 o'clock.
Indeed.
I guess we're done for today. I'm sorry you all had to listen to all these rants today. Sometimes I get so angry, I just have to let it out. I apologize for that.
Oh, God.
Next week, our show is going to be hosted by Brendan Beery.
What are you talking
he's
about?
He's going to be in control. You're going to be in control next week.
Oh.
Okay?
No, I didn't get the memo.
Well, I'm giving you, I know, I haven't distributed it yet. I wanted you to be the first to hear it.
No. I enjoy being the Ed McMahon to your Johnny Carson, my friend. There's no problem there.
No, you're my Guillermo to Kimball. To Kimball. Okay, you're my Guillermo. Okay.
Oh, God.
Ezzy, are you
well,
there?
On that note.
Ezzy, are you there? I guess Ezzy had that. He might have fallen asleep.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
it's okay. All right, everybody. Yeah. Ezzy, shalom.
Yeah.
Shalom to you.
Have
too,
a great week.
Okay?
Yep.
You have a great week. Enjoy. Everybody, we'll see you next week, and we're out.
All right. Take it easy, Jeff.
Bye-bye, everybody.